Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. Getting our nose right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday Scrum.
Hello and welcome to a special Anzac Day edition of the Monday Scrum, joined as usual by the team Benji Marshall and Brent Reed. Big day footy. We excited?
Always. What a great day. One of the great days in the rugby league calendar. I'm not going to the game though, Em, which I'm disappointed about because you've stolen the sideline off me.
I asked you.
Well, she hasn't stolen it. They just put the best person forward.
That's what it was. I said,
Reedy, would you like to do it?
Yeah. No, I'd love to be there, but I'm going to spend the day with my kids. I might watch the footy with my kids, actually.
Mate, yeah. Anzac Day, and especially this game, because I've played in the Roosters, Dragons, Anzac Day game before. I reckon it's one of the biggest days on the calendar of the year, especially for like Dragons and Roosters. At the Dragons, like everyone talked about, this game is so like, you watch it, forms out the window, everyone just turns up. Through the week, you get a whole like history lesson about a few of the Diggers and a few stories about how tough it was back in the days. And then you get perspective, right? Instant perspective about how lucky you are. And for me, I remember going out, I was having a real terrible year. Like, I wasn't playing that great. And then in this game against the Roosters, I don't know if you remember the hail game and the storms came and we got rained off. I wasn't having a great season. And for some reason, like, that week just woke me up and slapped myself in the face. And I ended up getting the Ashton Collier medal for best player on ground that day because, like, I don't know, it was the emotion of the week, listening to the last post. It's special. I actually can't wait to watch this game today.
Yeah, it's one of the best ones to be sidelined at for, Reedy. So sorry about that, Reedy. But you enjoy with a few cold ones at home?
Yeah, as well.
With the kids?
Watch it with the kids.
Not now, he's training.
They don't watch much footy with me, the kids. So
I saw you with your young one at Brookie Oval.
I know.
You were stealing the Four Pines from the media box.
You know, bizarrely, my young one, somehow this has happened. He's a mad Penrith fan.
Ooh.
And I can't work it out because...
Because they're winning? Well, just jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, maybe a smart kid jumped on the bandwagon, but I'm a Broncos man. My oldest son's a Storm guy. My dad backs the Dragons.
Yeah, very confused.
Somehow he's become
family.
A Penrith fan. I don't know how it happened.
You know what happens? The kids like whoever's winning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They follow whoever's winning at the time, so... Unlucky, man.
Yeah.
Well, we were both there yesterday at BlueBet Stadium to watch the Panthers get the job done 36-6 over the Raiders. Benji, what did you make of that performance from the Panthers?
Well, dominant, Emma. You know, I guess when you're coming off a premiership win, what happens is sometimes you can sort of go backwards or struggle because every team comes for you. But there's something about the Panthers this year that's just like crazy, right? We've talked about it before. They lose Burden, Naden, Kurt Capewell, and a few players, and you think they can't have players who are going to back that up. And then in comes Isaac Tung, or Taylan May comes in for Brian To'o. They just keep producing. Like, honestly, it's scary to think that they could dominate the competition for the next 5 years with the youth that they have and the talent that they've got.
That was an amazing second half, though.
Crazy.
I mean, they basically camped themselves on Canberra's line. The stats were so lopsided. And Ivan had said to them at halftime, look, come out, get in their face, get aggressive. And that's what they did. And Canberra just couldn't go with them. I mean, they just played a different speed now, Penrith, to most of the sides in the comp. I mean, obviously Melbourne could go with them and some other teams on the day, but Canberra just don't have the artillery to go with them.
But it's not just Canberra. Like, it's most teams in the competition. Because what people think is that Penrith have this real incredible attacking team that are so great with the ball. But people forget how good they are defensively.
Yeah.
Like, and this is from playing them last year. Out of all the teams that I played against, their line speed and their contact was the best. They were probably the most physical team in the contact. And they back it up with the way they run. And it's a small thing, but defense, if you have great defense, it makes your attack better because you have the ball more in better field positions and it complements. And people only see the attack, but it's their defense. And that's why they're a big chance of going back to back.
They've got some pretty handy players too, to be fair.
Well, you mentioned some of the young ones like Taylan May, Isaac Tago. You'd imagine that Ivan Cleary has a bit of a headache when Brian To'o does come back because, I mean, he obviously comes straight back in, but does Taylan May then push Staines out?
Yeah, I think Staines
it has
goes.
To be Staines, doesn't it? I mean, Taylan May's done so well.
Yeah.
And Charlie hasn't had as much freedom. Maybe playing outside Steve Crichton, he doesn't get as many opportunities because Crichton's...
He's a runner.
Yeah, he's a runner and doesn't he doesn't get a lot of ball, but you've got to leave Taylor May there. I don't know how you could drop Taylor May given the way his first grade career's begun.
That's a good headache to have, though.
It's handy,
gee,
isn't it?
Hmm.
They just keep turning.
The production line is incredible. And I know a lot of them have come through playing together. They've won SG ball comps, under 20s comps, and Taylan May and Isaac Tago even went to school together. So no doubt those combinations.
Well, the kid who made his debut yesterday, Sony Luke.
Yeah, that's a great story. He's 26.
He played Holden Cup with a lot of those guys. Mm. Had injury problems, shoulder recos, missed a couple of years. And at the time, I think they thought he was speaking to Penrith people yesterday, they said they thought he was the kid who was actually going to come through first above all those other guys. Mm. But he's just had injury. He came back in the off-season. He had a train and trial contract with the club, came back as fit as he ever has, and then gets his opportunity yesterday and was outstanding. Cameron Seraldo was his coach in the Holden Cup, presented him with his jersey the day before the game, and was outstanding for them. And, you know, there's another kid just come out of that production line.
When I went back to the Tigers in 2018, Ivan actually took Sony to the Tigers, and he was there getting ready to play first grade, and I reckon he was about to make his debut there, and he did his shoulder.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a talented kid, you know, and you could see yesterday when he set up that try for Yo, see them all get around him.
Yeah.
It was incredible. They all stood up when he went on about the 30-minute mark. And then when he had that try assist, the bench went mental.
Well, that's what happens when you grow up playing together. You know, you have those friendships, and for that team, you can see in the way they play how much they care about each other.
Yeah.
What does that mean for Mitch Kenny? Because we thought when Appy Coruscant goes to the Tigers next year that Mitch Kenny would take that spot, but is it potentially? So he played cup yesterday.
And Ivan said after the game that was just get some 80 minutes in his legs, because I mean obviously he's been coming off the bench most of the year. So I'd imagine those two guys, the way it stands, will share the role next year.
Unless they sign someone.
Are you hearing anything?
No.
You got something for Reedy's mail?
No.
Hold on. Let me get my notepad out.
I'd try and sign. I think Jeremy Marshall King, I'd try and sign him.
Oh, he's got a big option, hasn't he?
No, I don't know. Well, they got Reed Marnie next year, so you might have to find someone.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Chase that up, Reedy.
Hello. Let me put that in the little red book.
That's his brother just pushing him forward for him.
There were a few other issues to come out of that game. Firstly, let's talk about the Viking clap. So at two different points throughout the game, the Panthers fans started their own Viking clap to rub it into the Raiders. There's been a lot of debate about this. Some say it's just part of the game. The fans have the right to do that, and others think it's disrespectful. Where do you guys sit?
I don't care. Honestly, they're fans. No, I mean, I don't care what they've done. I don't mean I don't care about the issue. I don't care.
What's the issue, though?
Well, yeah, some people have said it's arrogant, disrespectful, and Penrith have got that. That's an accusation that's been thrown a lot of Penrith in the past 12 months. And it's unfair to throw that at the club because that's got nothing to do with the club.
They can't control that.
Nothing to do with the players. And you know, really, if fans want to do that, it's all part of the theatre of the game, the rich tapestry of rugby league.
Yeah, but you could go to any club and their fans are doing things every week that don't get talked about. It's just because, you know, I feel like watching the game, they hate each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The clubs just, you can feel that. There's just genuine,
like,
hate.
It's a great rivalry there, isn't there?
And fans do that. Even sitting sideline, Reedy, you would hear it too. You can see even when they're getting ready for a sideline conversion, they're abusing the kicker. Even sometimes you've got, you know, 8 or 10-year-old kids giving it to the kicker. Yeah. So, you know.
Sometimes some of the sprays I've heard from 8 to 10-year-old kids beat the ones of the adults. So you wonder what their parents are telling them. But
that's in his own household too.
Exactly.
What's the best one you ever got?
Some of them I can't say. Like, honestly, some of the language that comes out of these kids' mouths is just, ugh.
That's become one of the great rugby league rivalries in the last few years. I mean, even
they hate each other, don't they?
The end of the game with Steve Crichton. And
so who started that?
Well, it was right near us then, wasn't it?
I thought it was Jack White.
It was Jack and Steve, wasn't it, initially?
And then Dylan Edwards kind of came in. And
then they were all in there.
I'll tell you what, though. I wouldn't be taking on Jack Wyden.
No.
You know, like, he can throw him.
Yeah.
We've seen that CCTV footage a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not to bring up old memories. That's another person that's going to brush you from
the list.
Anyway, it was a tough afternoon for the Knights as well. 39-2, they went down to the Eels. Things started so well. They had the first two wins, and now it's 5 losses on the trot. At times, I think it was described in the commentary as embarrassing for the Knights. Mm. What'd you make of it?
I could obviously see that they weren't there mentally yesterday. Like, some of the tries that were scored against them were just, and their coach backed it up. You know, they were just like poor efforts defensively, you know, but I can't work the Knights out, right? They got so many good players in their team, so many people who probably should be leading the club to more victories, but for some reason, the last 5 weeks have just been like average. But they started on fire. Like,
yeah.
I think before the season, a lot of people said that they thought the Knights were probably going to slide, you know, and after two rounds, it was like, holy cracker, mm-hmm. you know, and now they have slid.
I've got to say, I'm the chairman of the Callum Ponga fan club.
Yeah.
But I looked at his stats today. One try assist in five games from Callum Ponga. You're a multi-million dollar, $6 million man.
Mm.
I think he needs more. They need more out of Callum Ponga. They really do. And as I said, I'm the chairman of his fan club. Mm-hmm. I love the way he plays the game. I was up there this week for the big announcement, sat down with him and his dad. You know, he's a good fella. They're a great family. But, you know, we talk about pressure on players and how well they're travelling. They need more out of him. And I don't know whether it's because he hasn't got enough support around him, or I know he was carrying a knee problem earlier in the year, but when you pay a guy that much money and you commit your future to him, he needs to win your footy
games.
Yeah,
does he have the calibre of players around him?
Well, I don't know that he has. I think we got carried away.
Does.
Well, yeah, I would say the spine, though, Benji's an issue. You know, we got excited about Adam Clune earlier in the year when he had a couple of good games. But sometimes there's a reason guys like that haven't had long and successful first grade careers, maybe because they can't do it consistently. You know, Jakey Clifford.
Yeah.
New combinations take time to...
You know, not there at the moment, won't be there most of the year. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know whether he has got the weapons. Well, is Bradman Best obviously a good player. There's some weapons there. Yeah. I'm not sure whether there's enough.
No, I think you're right. I think their spine definitely needs to add a bit more value to the way he's playing. But I don't know. I'd almost even consider putting him in there.
5'8"?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I just don't think he's getting the same amount of ball as the other good fullbacks in the competition are getting. And if you can't get him the ball, move him closer to the ball. He's played there before.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
You know, but I don't know. But then you move him and then who do you put at fullback?
Benji, how much of that is him not getting enough ball and him not going and demanding enough ball?
Well, it's hard because the last few weeks they've been dominated in the middle, you know, so they don't have the same platform to play off as what other teams have. But I reckon in 3 weeks' time, there'll be a straight Anthony Milford in there somewhere, and that'll try and maybe free him up, maybe partner with Clifford. I don't know, but they need something.
So Milford can play from round 11.
Round
correct?
11, provided he's done his
he's on track
courses
with that,
and he's fit enough. Adam spoke to him during the week, and Adam said, "Look, he thinks he'll be right for round 11." It's interesting. You know, I've put a lot of focus on Michael Maguire through the opening 5 weeks of the year. Right, Mads won a couple of games. Adam's the focus will start falling on Adam O'Brien if they don't turn it around.
Mm.
You know, they're 2-5. They lost five in a row. You know, Trent Barrett, and to me, Trent Barrett and Adam O'Brien are the guys who now the focus has shifted off Madge a little bit because he's had a couple of wins and the Tigers are playing really well against, and they've deserved to win those games.
Mm.
You know, when you lose like that at home, there's pressure.
In front of plenty of fans as well. And Adam O'Brien actually had to apologise to the fans.
Sorry. Just 25,000. You know, to put in that performance, we're just, it's not much to be proud of at the moment. We're just, you know, I thought we attacked well last week. I thought we were awful today with the ball. We're just, yeah, we're in a bit of a rut at the moment. We've got to fight. We've got to stick together really tight and fight our way hard out of this.
So you think another couple of losses and there'll be a few headlines about Adam O'Brien?
Well, the 2-7, 2-8, there's going to be, isn't there? Because there's a lot of expectation up there this year.
Right, we'll have to wait and see. Now, Reedy, we did love your mail last week, but it's been demoted again to the end of the show. And our
I thought that was a good thing. Last week it was good.
Remember? Going last.
Going first. Apparently that was like good for you.
Yeah, it was good. You got promoted. Now you're back down and it's time for our favourite segment.
Benji Marshall.
Benji Marshall.
Oh, Benji Marshall.
Marshall's Law.
Benji, what was your key takeaway from this round so far?
Well, I've got two, but the first one's just a quick little wrap to my little friend Luke Brooks.
Yeah.
Just toughing it out through, you know, a period of pain there where he was copping left, right and centre. A lot of heat. And look, I know he'll never talk about it, but that would have been difficult for him, you know. And just to see him kick that field goal on the weekend and smiling again, it was a little bit emotional. I actually felt really, really good for him.
I got goosebumps watching because being a Tigers fan and watching him come through and cop so much, I just felt so sorry for him because I honestly don't think I can remember a player copping as much heat as he has in a long time. And I hadn't seen him smile like that in a long time as well.
Yeah, and like all the people that know Brooksy is like he's the guy who, when I played with him, if there was a field goal on the line, he'll say, oh, you can take it if you want, you know. Mm. And to see him actually after Jacko missed two, put his hand up and say, I'll take this one and kick it. It was a proud moment as one of his mates. Anyway, that was just the first part. But the second one is, you guys might have heard of this guy, but he was a bench player at first. He come through, then they moved him into the back row because of injury, and then they had another injury, so they moved him to centre at the Cronulla Sharks. Probably the best half of football from any individual I've ever seen. Maybe not ever seen, but ever seen this year.
quite a difference there, Ben.
Yeah. But Talakai. Honestly,
what a weapon.
Surely he's in contention for Origin selection. He is, and I'll read you a couple of stats from the weekend, right? 241 metres, 14 runs, 19 runs, sorry, 8 tackle breaks, 3 offloads, 3 line breaks, and 2 tries. And most of those were in the first half. Like, it was a crazy performance. Like, he wasn't even in the picture at the start of the year for Cronulla, right? They had Connor Tracy playing centre, and they had their back rows covered. He was just on the bench. And now all of a sudden, he's become this cult hero. Not only at Cronulla, but in the game. Have you ever seen anyone talked about?
I saw other players even tweeting about him as well. So many.
But have you ever seen any player just come out of the blue like that and one of the most talked about and loved players in the competition?
Yeah. It's incredible. And he's got quite a good backstory. So I managed to speak to him after the game and spoke to him firstly about the being in Origin contention. And it was so refreshing to hear him because I know and I understand that players would like to talk down their chances and say, oh, I'll just focus on my club footy. But he was so raw and just said, I've always wanted to pull on that jersey. I really hope Freddie picks me. And said he used to watch the era of dominance from the Maroons and go to school grumpy when they'd look. It was so refreshing.
Benji, why haven't you been on the phone to him? Because he played junior Kiwis.
Yeah, I know. Well, mate, I would love to.
Get him to play for the Kiwis.
I would love to, but you can't make anyone make their decision. It's up to them, mate.
Get in their ear and try and convince
them. That's not my guy. I'm not that sort of guy, you know.
Okay.
It's up to the individuals. And plus, the extra 30 grand a game probably helps.
Yeah, it does help.
He also has... It's a great story of perseverance because he debuted for Souths back in 2016, played 11 games for them, and then they eventually let him go. I think he kind of,
He went back to Brisbane.
Yeah, and he had spoken, I think, a couple of years ago about the fact that he was struggling at that time. He had a bit of depression and he'd basically given up on playing rugby league and he was working as a garbage man for a while. And the other night when I spoke to him about that, he said he was just content and happy. There was no pressure and he was happy with that life. But his parents convinced him to give it another crack.
Like, seriously, there's a centre position up at Origin if Latrell doesn't make it back. He could be a smoky.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
It's got to be in the mix. Well, I think he'd be in the mix, but there's a lot of guys there. Steve Crichton, Katoni. For me, I think Crichton's been in the system and I think Crichton's the bloke who should be next in line. And he's not playing badly, Steve Crichton. 3 tries at the weekend.
What about Wyden?
Well, he's another option, obviously, and he is in the system.
Well, they might because I think Pappenhausen's 14.
You think he's laid down as there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Talakai could be a bench forward, though, couldn't he, as well?
He can play anywhere, that's the thing.
Yeah, I think he's got to be in the mix. I know.
You could just get him in the squad.
Basically, I just love him. I love watching him play. Honestly, he's probably the hardest guy to tackle. He's given a couple of players nightmares this season. I won't name him because I wasn't the best defender, but I wouldn't like to tackle him.
Do you want me to name him for you?
No, don't do it, Reedy. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, loved it.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep. Very well done. How do we rate the segment this week?
7.5
As always, it was brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Love your work.
10 out of 10.
Now, a bit of drama on the weekend. We always love a bit of drama. So Jason Taumalolo basically he got hit. It looked, you thought straight away, you almost saw the back of his eyes. It looked like he needed to go for an HIA, but didn't. So the bunker did not come in. And we've seen the bunker come in a lot of times this season for instances you think were less severe.
Well, they did. They came in and made Ponga go off on the weekend.
Yesterday.
That was way less than that.
Kurt Mangawoff a couple of weeks ago when he got
hit
in the crown jewels.
Game, yeah.
We actually spoke to Todd Payton on the Sunday sin bin yesterday.
Between our medical staff who were very diligent in that area and plus all the cameras and the external access that the bunker has, and if it's cleared by both of those, I've got no problem with it at all. I actually spoke to Jace this morning and he's got a bit of a lump on his jaw, but he said he didn't have any headaches, so that's the right call was made.
Now, you can understand Todd Payton not wanting to make a big deal of it and obviously not throwing his medical officials from the Cowboys under the bus as well. But, Reedy, how did he not get sent for an assessment?
It's a mystery. Having watched it back again this morning, I'm not sure how the bunker didn't pick it up. I mean, it just looked to me like an obvious... There was an obvious head clash. That was pretty clear. Mm. And you could see Jason looked initially a bit dazed by it. So I'm surprised. You know, sometimes medical staff can get on there and a player, they get their wits about them pretty quickly so they can almost pass the on-field test just because their body reacts quickly and they regain their senses. But the bunker, I'm not sure how the bunker misses that.
You reckon the doctor in there was having a little bit of a nap?
The on-field? The bunker?
Doctor in the bunker.
The doctor was getting his own
HIA.
Maybe
he was just having a little crash.
It's that old thing about consistency, right? This is the thing we want.
Oh, mate.
In rugby
don't
league,
start, don't start
across
me.
Everything, and that is an example, a glaring example of a lack of consistency.
Does the NRL look into that?
Do
Annesley and his team?
Well, they'd be silly if they didn't.
Look, can someone get dropped for that?
The thing that
can
I've
you
always
drop an independent doctor.
No,
from the bunker?
Can you, I don't know.
The
you
thing
tell
I've
me.
Always
Find
said
out.
Is like you can't make an assessment on someone how they feel, their symptoms through a TV, whether it's. Either way, whether they should have come off or they went off and they shouldn't have, you can't make the assessment unless the doctor's there. Like, let's get the doctor out of the bunker and get the doctors to the games and do it at the game. Mm. Because, honestly, I've been knocked around a few times and I've felt real bad, and there's been other times where I've felt sweet. You know, so the doctor should be there.
Mm. Right, get maybe we'll there. See that happen.
Could do.
Make it happen.
Get on to Graham M. Give him a ring, Graham M. After the show.
He's your mate. Get on to Valandis and go straight
PVL,
to the top.
I'll go to Peter if you want. I know him.
Let's get him on the show. We'll get him on the Monday scrum next
week. That's a good idea.
We should. We'll sort it out.
Mate, I can
Charlie, go. Sort that out.
Anyway, it was a great night once again for the West Tigers. We touched on it before with Brooksy getting the field goal.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, just a little bit of less pressure on
and
Michael
McGuire. And we deserve
McGuire.
The credit.
You do.
Don't we?
Apparently we do because this is what Madge had to say after the game.
I reckon what we need to do, Jimmy, is probably thank you guys. You know, obviously the 3 or 4 weeks where we were absolutely under the pump has brought this group together in a way that I haven't seen. So they've supported each other, and it's not nice, obviously, when you're going through those periods. But at the end of the day, you know, we've gone through it and they've come out the other side to be a lot tighter. And you see that in the change rooms, and I see it at training every single day. So... thanks.
Ooh, a little bit cheeky jab there from Madge.
I think that was at you.
Thank
no need
you,
to
Reedy.
Thank me, Tigers fans.
What did you think of that?
They sent me lots of messages on social media, but no thank yous this week.
Do you like that from Madge?
Oh, it's fair enough. I mean, he's been copying and hammering, and I've, you know, I think I said last week, I sent him a text after the game last week. It was never personal. I mean, I love the bloke. I've had a great relationship with him for 10 years or more. And it was never personal. It was about results. And now they've won some games. We're not talking about them anymore. Yeah. We're not talking about his future anymore. So, I mean, you've got to remember they're 2-5, so they're not out the woods yet. That's worth remembering.
Well, the biggest thing I said back then is the only way to shut up the noise is to win. And if you don't, the noise gets louder. Mm. And for them, they beat Parramatta, and then they beat another heavyweight South Sydney on the weekend. You know, so that stops the noise straight away. But their game was crazy. They completed 44 from 45 sets. Mm. If you look in the history of the Tigers ever, I don't think that ever happened. You know, so that's pressure. And they managed to beat South Sydney on the bell. You know, so I thought South did a pretty good job in hanging in there considering they had 12 errors and not much footy to be fighting there at the end. And they probably should have had a field goal lined up that they didn't. They went to the wrong post and poor Dry Arrow.
What did you?
He can kick him though.
Can really? He?
Honestly, if you put the competition at training, he'd beat all the halves except Lockie Elias.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Mate, he would. Yeah, he's better than Cody. Easy.
Really?
Yeah, you ask Jai, who's better at field
goals. I'm sure Jai will say he is.
No, he actually is, man. He's pretty good.
That wasn't his best effort then, Ben.
No,
that
it wasn't. But you don't give it to him on the last.
Yeah,
like,
yeah
you know,
it was
well,
a
it's not
bit
as,
of a debacle.
Is that an experience from Elias? Is it?
Well, not really. I mean, they got other senior players there who could have probably helped out, but...
Well, Elias went to take it, didn't he? And they rushed up. And
yeah, well, he did the right thing, you know. He didn't try and rush it, but Jai should have probably just ran it. But anyway.
But it's great. I mean, it's amazing. The past two weeks in the West Tigers have been unbelievable. And the emotion of Madge. In the emotion of Madge at full time in the coach's box.
Well, they got the Dragons next Sunday.
Yeah, very winnable.
Yeah. Then they got Manly.
And the Cowboys, I think.
It means so much to Badge. Means so much to him.
Bulldogs. So in the next four games, if they keep...
Winnable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they keep playing the way they're playing...
You're talking finals, Bench.
No, I'm just saying. You had him at 0-7, but anyway.
Can I clarify something?
No, you can't.
I never, ever said...
No, you definitely
they would be
said...
0-7.
You 100%
I said...
Do we just insert that little part
here? What I said was... They had a tough draw. They were 0-3 at the time. They had four tough games coming up. I said, if they are 0-7, the position's untenable.
I distinctly remember saying...
Okay, well, you find it.
And we will, because you said there's no... It was before the Eels game, and you said, well, they will be, because there's no chance they'll win this week.
Oh, I might have said that. You're right. Yeah.
No, I think everyone probably thought that, except me.
Yeah.
Yep. And Madge.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, good on him. I'm loving it.
Okay, so we're saying finals.
No, no. Their challenge is still ahead of them. Like, when you play the good teams, you can get up like that. Mm. But when you play teams that are probably not on the same level, it's how you get up to that level again, you know. So I want them to win again, but they have to channel whatever got them in the mindset that they've been the last 2 weeks has to stay.
Mm. All right. Well, to wrap up the show, let's give Reedy his time to shine. Mm. All right, Reedy, you've got something on Jack Bird. When's this going to be sorted?
This has been simmering and simmering and simmering for so long now, the Jack Bird situation. Look, his agent, Dave Riolo, we should give him a shout-out. It was his 50th birthday this
Happy
week.
Birthday,
so he went
David.
Away for the weekend, Dave.
Does he give you lots of mail, does
no,
he?
No, he gives me nothing. But I expect some movement this week on Jack Bird. I know I've said it before. But, you know, Dave's been away. I expect talks will happen this week.
With the Dragons. Dragons.
Yep. And I'd expect a resolution of this. I think Jack will be staying at the Dragons.
How long for?
I would think at least a couple of years for Jack Bird. I think it was a 2-year deal around the 1.1 was the figures it was being bandied about. So
1.1 a year?
No, for 2 years.
I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah. So, hopefully for Dragons' sake, they get it resolved this week. And if they don't, then... I'm not sure what'll happen.
Where do they see him long term?
It's a good question, Em. I don't know the answer because Hook keeps moving him around, doesn't he?
I guess it's good that he's versatile, but also...
If Tarek goes, Tarek will leave at some point.
Did he change his name?
Tarek.
Oh, Tarek, sorry. I call him Tarek. Is it Tarek?
Well, since when has it ever been Tarek?
Yeah, Tarek.
Tarek. Okay, Tarek.
No, that's right. He's changed it. Because he's changing teams, so he wants to change his name.
Tarek.
No, it's... Anyway.
If he happens to leave mid-season, there's been a bit of mail. He might go to Melbourne early. Mid-season. Then maybe Jack.
Why would they let him go, the Dragons this year?
Well, I don't think they've got any desire to at this stage, but you know, you never know how these things pan out, Benj.
Well, you know.
Well, I don't know,
From
actually.
The Storms.
Oh, no. No, I think he'll probably stay, but, you know, if the Dragons are out of contention and, Melbourne are the thick of it, why wouldn't you let him go early and clear yourself some salary cap space? That would make a bit of sense to me, but
sign
probably depends on how their season's panning out, right?
Yeah.
So, if Tarek goes, then maybe he becomes permanent edge back rower.
What's this space on Jack Bird? Now, Benji mentioned just before Talakai and how good he was to watch up against Katoni Staggs.
Now, this is an Origin showdown, isn't it? You know, this one. It's a ripper. Katoni will have his hands full, but Sifra will have his hands full with Katoni Staggs. I mean, he's in pretty good form at the moment, Katoni Staggs. Interesting, the Sharks been talking to Sifra for quite some time now about a contract extension. He's got a year left on his deal, and he can talk to other clubs or sign deals with other clubs on November 1. This is a big game for him. You know, he plays well in this game, happens to force his way into Origin. His price tag goes through the roof.
I think it's already gone up.
But if he cracks Origin, though, Benj, it goes up even further.
Yeah,
so I'd imagine his camp probably aren't in a hurry to resolve the situation, because the longer they wait...
There's no way.
You take your time?
Yeah, 100%. I'd wait till November. If I'm him, I'd wait till November 1, because there's a lot of teams that are like crying out for someone who can play like him.
Oh, Benji, the Sharks would be filthy. Yeah, they won't want to hear this.
But they know.
But they're working hard on it. And I think they're pretty confident they get something done pre-November 1, because they showed a bit of faith in Sifra, and he's rewarded that faith, to be fair to him. But he'll get a fair... salary hike.
What price tag are we talking, do you think?
Well, the way he's going, he's a $500,000 player at least, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I think the Sharks won't find that, but I think other teams would.
Yeah. That's the issue. If it gets to November 1, I mean, to be fair, it's not November 1's not even an issue because clubs can talk.
You can
to
talk
now.
To them. You just can't make any offers.
Yeah, you can't talk money. You can talk money. This is the fallacy. No, you can. What you can't do is actually sign a contract. You can talk money pre-November 1. So rival clubs can be talking to him now about what they will give him on November 1. They just can't stick a contract in front of him.
I've been fed some dribble information lately about that. No, someone said you can't.
No, you can. Yeah, that's an issue. It's been very confusing. A lot of people get confused about that situation. But you can talk money.
As if they're not like saying, all right, we'll give you 600, yeah? Just give me a nod. Okay, good.
You're saying?
Yeah,
okay,
cool.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't think he'll be in a hurry.
No, okay.
Sharks got their hands full there.
Watch this space. Well, with his good game, we were talking up Talakai, but once again, Nicho Hynes had an incredible performance. Close to buy of the season, you would say.
Yeah.
But he came oh so close to going to the Broncos.
And there'll be some people at the Broncos who'll be gnashing their teeth about this because the Broncos actually sat down in a boardroom with Nicho Hynes in the off-season. Last year. Kevy Walters, Pete Nolan, the then recruitment officer, sat down with Nicho. They were hoping to sign him to play in the spine. I believe the money was really good. They offered him a really good deal, but ultimately he chose Cronulla, and they obviously play against Nicho this weekend. You look at that Brisbane spine. I mean, Adam Reynolds is almost one out at the moment. That's
why he was in the comeback on the weekend.
You throw Nicho into that mix, and you've got a pretty handy spine. So, yeah, very close to joining the Broncos, Nicho. Well, Hynes,
so
but didn't happen.
Did that mean if they got Nicho, they wouldn't have got Reno, or were they going for both of them?
No, I suspect what they would have potentially may have cost them Kirk Capewell. I think it was around that time they were well down the path with Adam, I think, from memory, and they were tossing up Nicho or Kirk Capewell, and ultimately they got Kirk Capewell rather than Nicho.
What was the reason that he went with Fitzy?
Well, I assume he was just impressed by Fitzy.
And, he said he was.
And he's a Central Coast guy, right?
Yeah, he's from Central Coast. Closer to his family now.
Yeah. But Brisbane, they tried really hard to get him. And, you know, sliding doors moment, that one.
That's good mail, actually. First one.
No, Reedy.
Thanks for your support.
You're not bad.
I just gave him a 10 out of 10.
You're not bad,
No, I mean
Reedy.
First one after the last two.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Bench. Yeah.
Well done. That's Reedy's mail. Okay, so you're going to go enjoy the footy this afternoon?
Going to watch it with the kids.
There we go. We'll see you during the week.
And you enjoy that sideline.
I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I bet
won't
you
won't have to put up with you. And then Benji, got your show tonight?
No show tonight. No. Few games on tonight, bit late. I only do it in the kids' time slot, you know?
Yeah, of course.
It's too late.
Yeah.
9 o'clock's too late.
Yeah. Okay.
Week off next week.
Well, we'll catch you on Fox League. We'll read you in the Telegraph, and we'll see everyone else next Monday on the Monday Scrum.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.